Vice President Kamala Harris.
I get it. The cost of rent, groceries, and utilities is too high. So here's what we're going to do about it. We will lower housing costs by building more homes and crack down on landlords who are charging too much. We will lower your food and grocery bills by going after price gougers who are keeping the cost of everyday goods too high. You work hard for your paycheck. You should get to keep more of it. As president, I'll make that my priority.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
You are about to hear a 15-minute free preview of the latest bonus show to hit our Patreon-only podcast feed. Top Rope Nation Patreon members have access to multiple members-only podcasts every single month, including at least one new show each and every week. This includes new episodes of TRN Classics, TRN Unplugged, and TRN Extra, plus ad-free versions of our weekly flagship show, merchandise giveaways, virtual hangouts, and other benefits. So in order to support us and ensure Top Rope Nation continues well into the future, and to gain access to all of these great benefits and exclusive shows, join the Patreon page now. You can get full access for just $5 per month. Click that link in the broadcast description to learn more and enjoy this free preview of one of our latest Patreon bonus shows. What's up, everybody? Another edition of Top Rope Nation Classics presented exclusively for our wonderful patrons. Thank you guys for helping sponsor the show and making these bonus shows possible. We're going back in time tonight to talk about an all-time classic edition of WWF Raw's War. I remember watching this show like it was yesterday, not 27 years ago. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Jesse, let me throw it to you first. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Life's not too bad. I got myself a beverage to give my hoarse voice a little bit of a pick-me-up. So I'm doing much better.
I must have passed virtually my cold to you because I had a pretty bad one last time we recorded. I know I was kind of getting over it, but I was still sounding pretty nasally. It's starting to finally go away now. So I wonder if you have what I had.
My allergies have been picking up here in the last few days. I think there's been a small change in the weather here because we set a record for most 80 degree days in September and 19 of them here in the state of Minnesota. That's not usual. So we've got a couple more 80 degree days coming up, but we have had a couple of normal fall days, and I think that's where the pollen begins to hit.
Yeah, too many 80 degree days. I would rather have some fall here, and I feel like it's just been hot, and then all of a sudden it's going to get super cold. Justin, and we're not going to get much of a fall.
The best weather is weather where I can wear a hoodie and shorts. That's all I want in life. Best weather.
I agree. I've been looking at that like mountainous stack of hoodies in my closet. Like, when can I finally break into these? All my Roots of Fight hoodies, you know, I need to break into that. But I'm trying to get into the fall mood tonight with my beer. It's not like a super hard to find beer this time or anything, but it's just It's a Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. Picked them up the other day. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not like a huge Oktoberfest guy. They're kind of malty, but I was just feeling festive and I'm like, yeah, I'll get it for the one time this year. So I'm
all right. Throw it over to me next.
What do you got, Justin?
I am drinking a NA. I'm taking tonight off, but it is a Oktoberfest NA.
Oh, there you go.
And I've actually been sipping on that for, you know, the previous 20 minutes before we started. So I am going to be trying something else. I bought a non-alcoholic, what is this? It is a non-alcoholic dry London spirit, basically gin. I was curious, so I'm going to give it a little sip right now, see how this goes.
Let us know.
Yeah, not great. Not, I guess, yeah, it's fine. Just like with all NA stuff, it's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah. Jesse, you have anything tonight? I know you're not feeling the greatest, but.
And I got to be up super early in the morning. I actually, people who truly know me know I'm a apple crisp guy when it comes to not just apple pie, apple crisp, but apple crisp ice cream is by far my all-time favorite. Found an Olipop crisp apple at Target today.
Okay. Nice.
Dude, it's tasty.
Do you know what freaking rules? My wife, every year she goes to Illinois with her cousin and they go to this apple orchard or this, you know, and they get these apple cider donuts that are her favorite. And for my birthday, we warmed up these apple cider donuts and paired them with a little vanilla ice cream. God damn, that was good. That is a mighty fine dessert right there. Get yourself something apple flavored, warm it up and pair it with some ice cream.
Nice. Sounds good. I've been getting, you know, it used to be a lot more before I had kids, but I'll make like one trip to Starbucks every week or two now, because then I have to get the girls stuff now and it's just way too expensive. But when I do go to Starbucks, I have lately been getting the apple crisp oat milk macchiato. Have you guys ever had that? It's really good. Really good stuff. So, I mean, if you like coffee, get that iced. It's very good. Justin, you'd probably like it.
Yeah, I might have to check that out.
For sure.
Gosh, I'm the guy that gets a pumpkin spice something one time a year, so I'll add that to my list too.
I get a lot of pumpkin spice too. I'm not going to lie. I'm a basic bitch, man. I get... I love the pumpkin spice lattes. I have had a few of them this year. Once in a while on my break at work, I'll drive off and get a pumpkin spice either at Scooter's Coffee or Starbucks as well. And that's happened a few times this fall already.
You when you go out to get your pumpkin spice lattes and stuff, are you wearing your shorts that say juicy on the butt?
Yeah, I got the brown boots up to my knees. Got my got my jeans tucked into them.
I like it.
Bought a little flannel.
No Crocs.
No Crocs. I can't pull out Crocs. No, only the juicy shorts. Guys, as far as our wrestling fandom in 1997 goes, I don't think we need to go over it. We've been there a few times here on the show. We all love 1997 pro wrestling. In fact, I was thinking about it, and we have done a lot of the show. In fact, both major shows surrounding this Raw, September 22nd, 1997, we have covered WWF One Night Only, which happened just before the show on Classics with our friend Liam O'Rourke. That was a fun one. He was actually at One Night Only. We brought him on when we did that. And we've also covered a couple of years ago, WWF In Your House Bad Blood, the next pay-per-view after the show on Classics. We've also done SummerSlam 97 on Classics, In Your House Canadian Stampede, April 97 edition of Raw. We've done a lot of 1997 WWF, which I am not complaining. It's my favorite year in the history of pro wrestling. I've said that many times on the pod. But I just found myself as I was watching this TV, like, oh yeah, we did that Classics on that show. And then we did the Classics on one afterwards. So if this reminds you of some of that and you've never heard it, you should go back into the Classics archives, especially for our newer patrons, and check out the One Night Only 97 show and the Bad Blood 97 show, because those were a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy them, and especially after you listen to this one here. All right, live at Madison Square Garden, the very first edition of Raw to ever be broadcast from MSG. This show was so hyped up when they booked it, especially in the New York media. For like a month prior to the show. And even though WWF business, as we're going to talk about, wasn't great, you know, it was starting to turn a little bit of a corner as far as live attendance goes at this point in time. They legit had a sellout for Raw at Madison Square Garden. They had 14,615 fans in the building. You know, of course, with the old Titantron now for Raw, it's blocking one end of the arena, so you can get a little less attendance than when they have the smaller setup if they would have ran at MSG then. But yeah, they had 10,672 paid. It was a gate of $258,339. Sorry. And they also sold almost $98,000 in merchandise that night. And according to Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, he wrote, while there have been larger paid attendances for live Raw tapings with the high New York ticket prices, this was a bigger live gate than any Raw or Nitro in history. So wow. This was the highest gate for any Raw or Nitro.
I did not know that this was the first Raw in MSG before I started looking into this. Because I honestly, like, especially at the time, I could have given two shits about where these shows were. And like, you know, for the most part, you can't tell where these things are unless they do, or, you know, unless they beat it into your head by telling you, or if they show an outside shot. But it's kind of surprising that this was the first one, 97, until you think about like where business had been for them. It just probably didn't make a fiscal sense for them to run this very often.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I kind of remember them just building it up on TV, and, you know, it's just going to be this historic thing, which they certainly do during the broadcast, as we'll get to. But real quickly, I wanted to mention, you know, kind of the TV ratings that night, since we're doing the Monday Night Wars era. And if you'll recall, at this moment in time with the Monday Night Wars, it was only head to head the first hour of Raw, because at least Central time zone, Nitro was running 7 to 9 Central and Raw ran 8 to 10 Central. So the first hour of Raw and the last hour of Nitro were head to head. And then there was usually an overrun. So basically there would be like five segments or quarter hours where they would actually be head to head. And the way that shook out that night is Nitro overall did a 3.69 rating. That was 3.83 for the first hour, and then 3.58 when they were head to head. And Raw did a 2.33 rating. They were 2.35 for the first hour, which was head to head, and then 2.30 for the second hour. So Dave writes in the Observer a lot about how it was surprising they didn't really pick up much of a number in that second hour unopposed, especially, you know, given how much they had built this show up on TV as this big MSG show. In fact, the Raw the week before in Muncie, Indiana, did a 2.54 rating, and it was also a taped show. It actually did a higher rating than this episode that was live from Madison Square Garden. Because there had been a lot of talk, you know, at the time, is Raw losing the Monday Night Wars because they have these tape shows occasionally? But yeah, the taped show from Indiana the week before did a higher rating than live at Madison Square Garden. So it certainly wasn't because it was taped.
Sorry to put you on the spot here. Do you have it in front of you what the following Raw did? I'm just curious, because we've talked about this before, where it's like, where we'll watch an awesome Dynamite or an awesome Raw or SmackDown, and the ratings don't really reflect that until like the following weeks. Because, you know, the buzz from that show doesn't really come into effect until later on. I was just wondering if maybe this show had that effect on business or on the ratings.
I should say. I don't have the hourly breakdown, but I can give you, you know, the overall average. So so this one was rounded up 2.4 to 3.7. Then next week Raw was a 2.7 and Nitro was a four. So a little bit
of a bump. Yeah.
Whoa.
You would think it'd be a lot more for how just monumental this show was.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking at another site right now to see if they've got the quarter hour breakdown on it. And it was, yeah, no, it's just the This is WrestleNomics now. So they, what did I say the average was for this one? It was a
233.
Okay, yeah. So that rounding was bad on that last site. 2.33 according to WrestleNomics. Okay, so yeah, then on September 29th they did a 2.73. Yeah, and Nitro was a 4.06. And then 2 weeks later on October 6th they did a 3. Now of course that was the night after Brian Pillman's death. So that probably affected it a little bit. Maybe got some people tuning in out of curiosity. Mm. And then the week after that, they were Raw October 13th was down to 2.25.
Jesus.
Now, it did bump up a lot the night after the Montreal Screwjob, 3.39, which was up from 2.6 the week before. And then after that, though, then it slowly went down a little bit throughout the rest of the year.
Well, you know, and again, talking about ratings and whatnot and how long things can really take effect. They didn't really start winning until what, April, May, something like that of 98. Mm-hmm.
April 13th.
So for like I said, how big of a show this is, it didn't really turn things around like you would think looking at it retrospectively, which, you know, I think part of that is because looking at it with hindsight is a lot of the stuff with it is kind of behind the curtain with how much this show, and not really just this show, but this night impacted the entire industry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You got that. Yep. Because then a few weeks later, of course, we know with the Kane debut, and then DX was October 13th, the formation of them getting the actual name, Degeneration X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the show. Get the WWF signature right away at the start. And they go right into a WWF MSG retrospective video.
Really good.
Yep. Jim Ross is doing the voiceover. And then we go out into the arena. Wait, you get.
Well, hold on. I just want to 17 consecutive sellouts between Bruno and Gorilla in MSG. Fucking incredible.
That I do not believe is accurate.
Really?
I looked into that earlier today.
Revisionist history, of course.
You think I would know to maybe not take the WWE at their word when it comes to talking about wrestling history, but I guess I made that mistake here. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so here it is. This is, I had this up earlier. So, yeah, they say, Jim Ross says, Bruno and Gorilla had 17 consecutive sellouts, but actually,